Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Who won the NFL draft for 2021? Chris has some ideas. Aaron Rodgers. What is the next step? What's the most likely scenario for the Green Bay Packers quarterback? Is he actually not going to play next year? And if that happens, then what goes on? I mean, there's a lot to discuss with this. LeBron James decided that his circumstances now mean that the NBA play-in game is a bad idea, or play-in tournament is a bad idea. The Kentucky Derby was fun to watch over the weekend. Amazon is taking over Thursday Night Football a year early. We dive into a lot on Monday's live show. Hopefully you were with us. If you were not and you were listening right now, we certainly appreciate that as well. If you like the show, tell somebody. You know, that certainly would help out. Leave a nice five-star review. Of course, go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. I'll tell you, we're going to go ahead and hit an ad, and then we're going to go ahead and jump into the show.
Are you kidding me?
You are looking live.
Winning Cures Everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in Monday, May 3rd edition of the Winning Cures Everything podcast. I am your host, Gary Seegers.
And I'm Chris.
I kind of did that a little differently today. I apologize.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it threw me off. I kind of jumped in quicker than I anticipated. Either way, we have a lot to discuss today like we do every Monday. This is the Monday live show. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can do so. Whatever platform you are on, whether that be Twitch, Periscope, Facebook, or YouTube, you can jump into the chat from any of those different platforms, and it will populate right there in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. Go ahead and jump in there with whatever you would like to discuss today. Go ahead and tell you, we're going to talk a lot of NFL, a whole lot of NFL. We got to hit on LeBron. We got to talk about the Kentucky Derby, other things as well. But before we do that, winningcureseverything.com is the website. You can find anything that you need to know about us over there. Make sure and give it a visit. We would certainly appreciate that. That will be the easiest way to share out the show if you want to tell anybody about it. Just tell them go to winningcureseverything.com. They can see everything we're about. Every appearance that we make, every show that we do, etc., will be posted right there. And you can always find our college football content over at sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. We do a full, 45-minute to hour and a half, whatever week it is, whatever's going on in the world of college football. However long the show is, it's a long one, and it's every week. And you can find it by searching YouTube, SBR Picks. Very easy to find. Go ahead and check that out. It'll be up on Wednesday for this week. Chris, let's go ahead and start us off. You feel good about the NFL draft of the weekend?
Yeah, man.
Cleveland looked good. I've got an article that I haven't posted yet, but I'm going to start posting as soon as we get done with this. Because I've been running like crazy. All morning.
We both been kind of crazy, so yes. You're good.
It's been, we had storms come through, knocked my power out last night. The three-year-old slept with us. I am still sore. I am still hurting. He does not do this regularly. And man, whenever he does, he is not an easy sleeper. So I deal with feet in the side and feet in the neck and just, he wallers. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. But, so I am hurting. And then of course, we started a new schedule at work this week, and I've got 14,000 projects going on. It's just a mess. So, but we do have time to discuss the sporting landscape, and we will start off with this. the first topic today, we're going to talk about the Thursday Night Football package moving from Fox to Amazon. And we're not going to spend a long time on this because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter a whole lot. But the NFL said that they are going to move it a year early. It was supposed to be in 2023. Now, this 2021 season that is coming up this fall is going to be the last one where Thursday Night Football will be available on Fox. That is, you know, over-the-air television. You can get it with your rabbit ears.
Is it
still
going to be on NFL Network, or is it completely off of TV?
From what I understand and from what I have read, it is going to be specifically on Amazon. They paid a fortune to get it exclusively on Amazon, and that's the way it's going to be. And I know that old men like you are going to be irritated about this.
So this doesn't bother me that bad because it's one game on prime time, and when I'm on the NFL, I'm not flipping channels. I'm not going back and forth from games except for on Sundays, okay? But the one, if Monday Night Football did it, if Sunday Night Football did it, which Sunday Night Football will never do it. NBC pays a fortune. And if Thursday Night Football does it, it doesn't affect me that badly. There's rarely another college game on that I actually am going to care about on Thursdays to where I'm wanting to go back and forth. The thing I don't like is it's not easy to go when streaming back and forth from one channel to the other, from one game to the other, from one show to the other, and damn sure not from one platform to the other.
Yes. No, I agree. By the way, let me go ahead and preface all of that I just said. The games will be available to a national audience only on Amazon Prime Video when the new agreement kicks in 2022. The NFL, however, has pledged to broadcast them over the air in the broadcast markets of the participating teams.
Yeah, so the local teams, I think, are going to get it. Now, I'm wondering, what's that going to be on? Is it going to be on the CBS or Fox affiliate?
I would imagine so. I would imagine it's got to be Fox, right?
Like, I don't know that it's just Fox. I mean, CBS owns half of those games, too.
Do they own half the Thursday package, though?
Well, no, they don't own half the Thursday package. But if Fox isn't paying for a special Thursday package and you get the Browns games on CBS and never on Fox, then the Browns game would be on CBS, right? The Patriots game would be on CBS. They've always, and up until this past year, they've always done the AFC was on CBS, the NFC was on, and then the last year or two, they've kind of muddied those waters a little. So
I wonder, you remember, it feels like a long time ago when they actually did preseason games. The preseason games were on, you know, whatever channel they could fit them in.
Well, I wonder if it's going to be like that. Just whenever they get it on, yeah.
I wonder if it'll be something along those lines because it was ABC. It was, you know, preseason games were open to everybody, whoever I guess wanted to bid on them or whatever. But yeah, that's
what most preseason games, many preseason games were on ESPN.
Yeah, the issue that I have with the Amazon stuff, I always had trouble finding it on the Amazon Prime stuff. Now they've updated the Prime app or whatever on Roku and Fire Stick and Apple TV and whatnot. They've updated it a little bit, so it should be easier to find. But man, I would go over there for Thursday night games just to see the difference. And half the time, I could not find it. Like they weren't promoting it, so it was really strange. I would imagine this go round, it's going to be the first thing that pops up. You won't even have to worry with it. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. It's a change in the norm for sure. Taylor jumps in already on YouTube. He said, "Hello, boys. Hello, Taylor. Good to see you here on this beautiful Monday afternoon." Yeah, the storms rolled through, and man, it got pretty outside. Like, it is sunny, it's hot, it's ridiculous. We're getting into summer weather already. All right, let's talk about this draft. And obviously, we are going to go through, the plan is with our buddy Kyle from the SBR show, the SBR NFL and Major League Baseball show, on his channel and our channel, we are going to dive through all 32 teams and not necessarily give rankings, but discuss whether or not we like what they did and then who won the draft in each division. Before we do that, though, I gave out my winners and losers last night, and I want to get Chris's idea of who he thought had the best drafts, who had the worst drafts. I do want to add to mine. I want to add the Chiefs as a winner for the draft. I think they shored up some needs, and I'm going to add the Steelers as losers. The more I dive into what they did, the more I don't think they really fixed any of their problems. So Steelers, I think, losers in this situation. Chiefs, I think, winners in this situation. Chris, give me your winners and losers.
I've got five quick winners, five quick losers. I'm sure there's going to be more, but just off the top of my head, teams that I think did, let's say the losers first. I think the Rams did really bad. Yep. I don't like what the Rams did. I don't like what Seattle did. I don't like what New Orleans did. So you and I listen to the Yahoo guys. These are guys that cover college football for a living, okay? They know more about college football than kind of almost anybody,
yes.
All right? There are very few people out there covering the sport that know the depth of college football. They did not know who the Saints took in the first round.
Peyton Turner.
They'd never heard of him. The guy from Houston. Yeah. They never heard of him. They don't know. Like, he wasn't an impact player at Houston. Like, I believe this was strictly this guy looks good in the uniform pick. Now, because he does. Like, when you look at him, he looks like a freak. He looks like a hell of an athlete. He looks like a monster.
6'6", 270. I mean, just ridiculous.
He's got all, you know, and he's chiseled like a rock and all this stuff. Like, he looks great. But the fact that he's never been anything special in college is just a little bit alarming to me. This is an organization I think drafts well. Also, the Raiders and the Packers. I think the Packers didn't do good. And I definitely think the Raiders didn't do good. Once again, the Raiders are taking guys, you know. Not that all the players the Raiders take are bad. I don't even know that it's a reach so much as they don't understand what things cost. Yes. I mean, it's like you ask John Gruden, like, what's a gallon of milk? And he's like, I don't know, like $12. Like he just has no concept of what things should cost.
So yeah. I'm gonna disagree. I don't think that the Raiders were losers. You had everybody that I had, except that I had the Colts in there. I wasn't a fan of what the Colts did.
No, the Colts are on my hit list. But here's the thing: I'm a little biased, though. Some of these organizations are historical great drafters, and so I don't think they did a good job. But it wouldn't surprise me if in 3 years all those guys are really good and their team is better because they've just kind of been really good for years.
No, you're 100% right. The Raiders situation. I think if you had switched their 17th pick and their 43rd pick, if they took Trevon Moehrig from TCU at 17 and they took Alex Leatherwood at 43, I think that everybody would have looked at this draft and been like, okay, this kind of makes sense, right? You got cornerback Nate Hobbs at Illinois. You got Jimmy Morrissey from Pittsburgh at seventh round pick. Divine Diablo from Virginia Tech in the fourth round or third round. You got Malcolm Kuntz out of Buffalo, edge rusher. Like, I think all of these are fine. Like, I think the issue was that they reached really high for Alex Leatherwood because they had a glaring need on that offensive line. And they took Leatherwood way too early.
The reason they have a glaring need is because they've traded for an offensive line or signed a big-time free agent offensive lineman that was there for 2 years and now gone. They've drafted offensive linemen and they've all been bust. Like, this is one of those, they historically get the opposite end of how I feel about the Colts.
Yeah.
They have just missed. They've had more draft picks in the last 3 years than any NFL team at all, okay? Especially top 100 picks. And they have missed on so many of them. So many of them have been just flat out bad, wrong, not good at all. And it's just one of those things where you don't get the benefit of the doubt. You reach for a guy, I'm just going to assume that guy's going to be a bust because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then they're critical. I find it funny that that's the one organization that's like super critical of, of draft grades, giving them a poor grade. And they're like, we don't really care what draft evaluators think. Like, really? Because you hired one of them. Because Mike Mayock has never worked in the NFL before. He worked on ESPN. He worked on TV doing draft grades, and you hired him. So apparently you do care about what these people think because you hired one of them.
Yes.
And I actually think Mike Mayock's a pretty good. My problem is I think John Gruden, A, has way too much influence on that organization and is just not good at this.
Yeah, it's strange to me that they focus so much on these teams that make the college football playoff. I don't know that that's a good way to actually
win. Because there's tons of talent from smaller schools that are just never going to make the playoff.
Yeah, yeah, because you're looking at individual players along with personality traits and everything else, right? McKinnon jumps in. He said, happy Monday, y'all. Good to see McKinnon in on Facebook. Andrew Shirey jumps in. I get why they've got Leatherwood, though. If they think he can be a solid right tackle for 10 years, go ahead. And I do get that. The issue is that there was Darrisaw out there. There was, and it, maybe they've got Leatherwood, you know, ahead of Darrisaw. But where you took him at 17, his over under as far as the odds market goes, his pick was supposed to be 46.5. Like, he was a second round guy, and you drafted him at 17. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So there's no value there. However, Trevon Moehrig was expected to be a top 25 guy and fell all the way to him at 43. Now, they got value there, so it's like this never-ending... It's a mess. It's a mess. Taylor jumps in. He said, I give the Bengals an A- for the draft. They were not one of my winners.
They're one of mine. They're one of mine. So my winners, I've got the Cowboys. I've got the Chargers. I've got the Bengals. I like what the football team did. That team looks exactly like what I think Ron Rivera wants their football team to look.
That's what I said on my show last night.
I haven't listened to your show yet, but like, yeah, no, that looks exactly like what I think Ron Rivera's good. And he's really good at this, by the way. He's built really good teams in the past.
Did you see who they signed in the, as an undrafted free agent?
I haven't looked at any undrafted free agent stuff at all. Hardly.
The running back out of Buffalo that set all the NCAA records, Jarrett Patterson.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, why spend a first-round draft pick on him? Because there's a really good chance that guy is just as good as every draft pick that was out there.
100%.
And there's also a chance that he might get cut and might not make the team. That's fine, too. But it's just a matter of system. I think the team that won this draft more than anyone else, and you can call me a homer, you can say what you want, it's the Cleveland Browns. But yep, they did not make a pick that wasn't an A-grade pick. They just didn't. They just didn't. They got almost the best player at every position when they were taking them. That was available to them. They didn't miss. They didn't reach. They didn't panic.
And they got value on basically every pick.
Well, like, here's the beauty of being able to do that. They were able to do that because they didn't have any major needs going into the draft.
Exactly.
And that gives you the ability to do that. Some teams that I think, like, I'm criticizing the Raiders for their draft, but the Raiders went in this draft with massive holes in several spots, okay? Yeah. Well, you have bad holes because you've made mistakes in drafting, and so you're trying to plug holes instead of just getting talent, all right? It's weird. New Orleans, I don't really see that. I think they did a bad job. Seattle, the Rams, God, I have no idea what these are. Normal organizations that I think are really good. I don't think they're good. Now, who the hell am I to tell? I don't know anything about this stuff. We just talk on the internet about it. That's it. I understand that I've got a lot of biases coming from a lot of outside media of people that have never worked in the NFL before. But I also understand, like, how things are priced in a market. Like, I might not know everything there is to know about how the game is played, but I understand what things should cost. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's all of its market value, right?
Yeah.
And the Browns have been kings at that over the past few years. They have a system in place now, and they are hitting it at 100%, man. It's just awesome. Taylor wants to know, do I think the Bengals lost the draft or just middle of the pack? It's not. Okay, so if we're doing winners and losers and it's cut, like, right down the middle, then obviously they would be a winner. They're not, like, one of my top five or six winners. I think that they were pretty good. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, I would have done that too at number five. I think that's the smart play over an offensive lineman, because I think that you need more than just one offensive lineman. And I think that Chase is a guy that can help alleviate some of those sack issues, because I think Burrow's going to get the ball to him a lot quicker, right? I think he opens up a lot.
Yep.
In those coverage sacks, right? When you actually pay attention to the numbers, it kind of changes your idea of what you're looking for. But then in the second round, they go and get Jackson Carman, who, okay, like, he's an offensive tackle from Clemson. He's 6'5". He's like 335 pounds. He's a pretty big dude. And he was okay at Clemson, but he was also, you know, there were times that Clemson ran into problems, and that offensive line was part of it. Now, I don't know if it was necessarily him, because I have not done a deep dive on him. I didn't expect him to go second round. But after that, you know, you get two edge rushers in Joseph Asai and Cameron Sample from Tulane and Texas. Tyler Shelvin, you know, defensive interior guy from LSU. You get, goodness gracious, you get Deontay Smith from East Carolina, Evan McPherson from Florida. You draft a kicker in the fifth round. You know, you get a center, Trey Hill, out of Georgia, who was okay, you know, I guess. They had a lot of picks, and some of them were okay, and some of them were not a lot of value.
But this is all bites at the apple. Once you're past the second round, everything's value. Like there is no price on anybody anymore.
Yeah, as far as offensive line goes, though, I don't know that Jackson Carman is an answer, but he's certainly a bite of the apple.
Three O-linemen, and me and you've talked about this multiple times. Their O-line was terrible because they were hurt. Like they're not getting Pro Bowlers back, but the guys coming back that will actually start for this team.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine.
Than the guys that took their place, obviously. There's a reason they were the starters. And so you draft three guys that are O-linemen and you find a place for them. And maybe they're just depth and maybe that's all they ever are. Maybe they work out to be really good. But if one of the three turns out to be a pretty good offensive lineman, then it was all good.
Yeah.
And everything was great.
No, I agree.
Like, I'm not looking for all these players to be studs. I'm looking at what these teams need. One of the reasons I have the Cowboys as a winner is because the Cowboys were god awful on defense, and they went in this draft, and they didn't just draft defensive guys, man. They drafted really good top tier talent defensive guys, and they got these guys at multiple levels of the draft.
Did you see that they did not pick up that 5th-year option on Leighton Vander Esch?
It doesn't surprise me.
I mean, he's missed 16 games the last two years due to injury.
He's really good when he plays. He's really good.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Pro Bowler.
They've had the problem with Lee, and now they're having it with Vander Esch. It's like everybody they stick in the middle of that defense just can't stay healthy. Let's hope Parsons can.
Yeah, Parsons, they got Jabril Cox from LSU. They got him in the 4th round. Nashawn Wright, the kid from Oregon State, like, I'll admit, I had to research him a little bit. They took him in the 3rd round. I had no idea who he was. And it turns out, like, PFF and some of these other guys didn't even have him in their top 200, and they took him at pick number 99. So, at that, I didn't understand, but maybe they know more than me. But, they had a lot of bites of the apple, and they took some dudes that they're going to take a chance on. I'm okay with this. Chauncey Golston out of Iowa.
That's what they're having to do.
Like, yeah, they took their defense. I mean, let's see. Their first six picks in this draft were all defensive guys. Like, Dallas went at it hard, man. They realized,
when your offense is scoring 45 points a game and you're losing, you got to take bites and you got to take chances and you got to take gambles. And here's the thing is they don't need that defense to be the 85 Bears. If your offense is scoring 40 points a game in the high mid-30s to low 40s, you don't need to stop everybody on every third down, man. You just need to turn a couple of touchdowns into field goals.
I got to tell you, man, I was very impressed that it feels like the world was burning a little bit with Gettleman trading back and Jerry Jones trading back in the 1st round. Like, those two guys don't typically do that. And it just threw everything up in the air.
Well, Gettleman, when you look at what he got to trade back, it was a monster haul. I mean, just a monster haul.
Oh, yeah. But if you are a guy like Gettleman, who, honestly, if they don't win this year, he could be out of a job, typically those guys do what Ryan Pace did, and, hey, we'll package up whatever we got to. We're going to sell the farm to get somebody.
And that's why they paid the price that they paid to move up. If you look at – I thought this was really funny live in the draft, but I was a little sauced, and so I didn't want to bring it up because I didn't know if I was really missing this. I think the Giants – to trade their pick got substantially more than the Cowboys got to trade theirs.
Oh, yeah, but the Cowboys only moved back to 12 from 10,
I understand that they only moved an 8. But do you think if the Bears would have called the Cowboys, they would have taken that deal and moved all the way back? Because I think they would have.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right.
Like, that's the thing is Gettleman got a haul, but Gettleman got a haul because he was offered a haul. Why was he offered that haul? Because Ryan Pace is desperate.
Yes.
And here's the thing. This is you know how I feel about this stuff. If Fields hits, does not absolve all of the bad that he has done in trying to build that team. It does not forgive at all. That means Fields is a stud and the rest of the NFL misevaluated him and let him fall too far.
Yes. Okay?
That you didn't do something good. The reason you're in this spot is because you have wasted 5 valuable draft picks on trying to find a quarterback.
Okay? Yes, very much so. Very much so. And I will tell you this. I did have the Bears as one of my winners.
Yeah, like, they're a winner. They're a winner. I just made a quick list of 5. Okay.
Forget the Justin Fields thing. Like, obviously, that's a big caveat, right? But they got Tevin Jenkins in the 2nd round at number 39. They got offensive tackle Larry Borum from Missouri in the 5th round. And then the 6th round, man, you talk some bites of the apple. Khalil Herbert, running back out of Virginia Tech, who was an absolute lightning bolt last year. Daz Newsome, wide receiver out of North Carolina, who was really, really good in that offense. Cornerback Thomas Graham out of Oregon, like, he's a stud. He's a playmaker. Like, they got some dudes late in this draft. I thought the Bears did really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like I said, you know, I don't like doing this now. I'm going to do it with you, and I'm going to do it with Kyle, and we're going to do a deep dive, and I have my opinion. But in 3 years from now, I want to look at this draft, and we'll see where we are. Because the rule of thumb is one of these quarterbacks is going to be a star. One or two of them are going to be okay, and the other two are going to be completely busting out of the league by now. Like, that's what's going to happen, okay? Oh, yeah. And we all have our opinion on who's going to fall where. But at the end of the day, the time will tell us. Five years from now, two of these guys won't play football anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I do find it a little funny. PFF gave the New England Patriots an A+, and neither of us listed them. Looking at what they got, like rounds 1 through 4.
I don't think they did bad. I don't think they were a loser. I literally just rolled off five names real quickly that I know I think I liked, and I think I like those teams better than I like the other ones.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I tend to agree. Let's jump topics. We got a few more that we're going to discuss. We don't have to go for a full hour today.
That's all right.
Hey, Andrew, let's see. Hold on. I did not realize that we had a bunch of guys in the chat here. Taylor, that makes sense. One elite lineman isn't fixing the Bengals issue, so I'm happy with Chase. The Bayou Bengals are in Cincy now, for sure. Andrew Shirey, that corner they took in third is 6'4 and ran a 4.4. Dan Quinn's perfect corner. Yeah, no, absolutely, but he was still he was still graded.
I want to hold up on the Dan Quinn's perfect corner. Has Dan Quinn had a great cornerback in a long time? Because every cornerback he drafted in Atlanta was a bust.
No, not since he was in Seattle.
So I would like to let's pump the brakes on Dan Quinn has a type, and that type is good.
I tend to agree with you. Andrew also said the NFL is going to regret letting Shanahan get Trey Lance. Two guards and two running backs. That running game is going to be better than ever. Yeah, the 49ers got Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell.
In 2 years, when Monsters, I think they're gonna ride Monsters' deal, because why wouldn't you ride the horse that you already have locked up for a long time that already has a lot of tread on those tires? And then he wants out because he was complaining about his deal already and wants out. He's going to be gone. Trey Sermon, when he gets in that Kyle Shanahan zone blocking scheme run, he's going to be one of the best running backs in all of football.
Yes, 100%.
And it's not going to be close, by the way. I mean, I think he's going to be a top three, top five. He has Adrian Peterson potential to just because the system that he's going to be in, and all he has to do is not get greedy, don't see dollar signs, and understand that you are a stud, but Kyle Shanahan is a brain, and he has designed offensive run games better than anybody in football for the last decade.
Hey, don't forget about Elijah Mitchell, though. Elijah is the running back from Louisiana, and he was an absolute workhorse last year for the Raging Cajuns. So it would not shock me to see him be the guy over Sermon. I do expect Sermon to be the guy. Don't get me wrong, but would it shock me?
Over Sermon?
Yeah.
Over Sermon?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is that much of a stud.
And maybe Kyle does always like to have two running backs. So, yep. I mean, maybe it'd be a thing where neither one of them are good enough to be any type of, like, special fantasy back because they're going to share workload. But they're both going to get so many touches, it's not going to matter.
Oh, yeah.
And then now you've got a running quarterback to pair them with.
Oh, it's
and
gonna
that
be awesome.
Always opens up the run game. Like, it makes it harder to guard. Like, I like having running backs that are tied to running quarterbacks.
Yes.
Because it's just so much harder to, you know, to take them out of the game.
Mostert's last year of his contract is this season, by the way.
It's this season. Yeah, no, this is it.
So he's making
– it's Mostert and Jimmy G, and then next year you got the young blood coming in.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be a lot of fun for the NFL.
Mostert getting $3.6 million this year, so I would imagine they'll probably ride him into the ground, and the other guys will get some touches here and there, but –
Yeah, they'll get some touches, but I would ride Mostert into the ground.
Yeah,
I know that sounds like an asshole thing to do, but it's a business.
No, it's absolutely business.
I know he's not going to be back next year, but he's really good at what he does. So let's get all the use we can out of him.
He is 29 years old this year, Mostert is.
So. I was just about to say that dude, and they've ridden him a lot. He's had a lot of touches over the last 2 years.
You are correct about that. All right, swapping topics.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Obviously, this was a big-time topic during the first round of the NFL draft. I got to get your opinion. I talked about it a little bit on last night's show. Aaron Rodgers. Now, there is all the talk about how he could retire. There was the rumors that, oh, the Broncos already have a deal done for him. Now there's talk that he's interested in the Raiders and going and teaming up with John Gruden. Give me your thought on what is the most likely scenario here. He's made over $240 million in the NFL. Like, that now, doesn't include endorsements.
I might be wrong. I literally thought I saw somewhere the Raiders said they don't have the cap room to sign him. Like, and I guess they would have to create that cap room.
And they certainly could.
But do they have the assets? Do they have the picks to give away? That's the thing. If you're the Broncos, do you have more to give away? Either one. If he goes to either one of those places, that's going to be huge and it's going to be great. It would be amazing for Las Vegas to be able to open that stadium with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. Listen, he says he's not going to play until the GM is fired. I don't think they're going to fire the GM because I actually think the GM's pretty good. We criticize them for not going and getting him first-round offensive talent all the time, but that team is one of the most talented football teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, we overvalue first-round wide receivers all the time. And all the best wide receivers from the last 3 to 4 drafts are all coming from the second round. All right. Yeah. So this not getting Aaron Rodgers offensive weapons in the first round has just got to stop. Look at the overall roster. Is it one of the best in football? Yes. Then the GM's done his job. All right. Now, obviously the GM did something to piss Rodgers off, but here's the thing. When Rodgers, this is a guy who does not talk to his mama.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to go back on not playing for this team? Like, whatever it is that you do to wrong him, this is a man that is hard-headed to a point where he has burned bridges with his family.
Yeah, he won't even speak to his family. So
I think he's got enough gumption to just walk away. He's also made enough money to walk away. He is, you know, I think it's ironic. The three best quarterbacks in the history of Green Bay have all only played 16 years. Back when Brett Favre did it and Bart Starr did it, 16 years was a hellaciously long time to play football. But Aaron Rodgers just finished his 16th year.
And now he's not gonna
play for him anymore.
It does get a little weird. If you look at what their weapons are, they have got Davante Adams, obviously. Hoss, Equanimeous St. Brown, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and then they just drafted Amari Rodgers. Now, aside from that, they got Malik Taylor, Jawan Winfrey, Kabion Into, Reggie Bezelton. They got other dudes. Devin Funchess, like, they signed him. But, like...
Well, I mean, they've got tight ends, and they've got really good running backs. So, yeah. I mean, and they've got a really good off... Like, they're a really good football team. They're one of the most talented teams in the NFL.
Yeah, Big Bob Tonyan, yeah, all in on him. They've got a talented roster. I wonder if this has anything to do with last year's draft where they go up and they get Jordan Love. I wonder, I have no idea what to expect from this. Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he just retires. Like, how long does he have to sit out? Does he have to sit out the length of his contract?
Yeah, he had to sit out 2 years.
If he sits out one season, do you think that the Packers like decide, we're going to trade him, or are they as petty as he is?
I think if we're on week 8 you trade him, or week four you trade him. Like, because once you see he's doing this, you know he's not going to like undo it. You know he's not going to stop doing it. Yeah. Once you see that he's fully committed to this, then you get an offer in place and you take a king's ransom.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And then at that point, everybody figures out where the roster is, see who needs what, and then go from there. I don't think he's got a no-trade clause or anything, does he?
No, he does not.
So he could go basically anywhere. Andrew said Rodgers has to know his time is limited with Love. They aren't going to make him wait 3 years to play. Egos are too big. And Taylor said, I see him retiring and throwing questions to Jeopardy contestants. I could see him doing Jeopardy, but he's already come out and said, like, they record 45 days out of the year. I don't have to quit football.
Like, it was neat seeing him do Jeopardy. I don't know that he's the best Jeopardy host. I don't know that he's getting the job full time.
I don't know that he is either. I do know that I enjoyed him. I watched some of the other guys. I thought he was really good.
That's because you're a sports fan.
Yeah, yeah.
How many of the Jeopardy people are sports fans?
Probably not many.
Okay, so his star there doesn't shine as brightly. Because if you pick up a few extra fans, but you lose a lot of your hardcore fans, then you've taken a major net loss.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously they're going to make that decision. We'll see what happens with it. But it would not surprise me to see him get that job, because I thought that he, if you did not know that he was a quarterback, you just look at it and listen to him. I think he did perfectly fine. Like, I think
he did fine. Yeah. I think he did really well, actually, considering, like, I'm giving him a negative effect of being a football player. Like,
yeah.
Okay, but they're not normally brainy. And I mean, I know he went to Cal. He went to a smart kid school. This guy, you know, whatever. But the other options are a lot smarter than him. They just are.
And
I don't know if they're better than him or not. I'm not a huge Jeopardy guy, obviously. I'm a moron. I'm not watching it. But I saw when he did, and, you know, okay. But I wouldn't, like, regularly tune in because of him either.
If he ends up with the Raiders or the Broncos, I think that's a positive for the NFL. Now, because you are going to get monster ratings two times a year whenever he and Patrick Mahomes go up against each other.
Yes.
I think that's definitely a good thing. And I don't think that you lose a lot, because the Packers are still going to be a big-time draw. Obviously, historical franchise. And whatever goes on in that NFC North, people are still going to be interested. So I don't know how many people are tuning in to watch the Raiders and the Broncos without a big-name guy, right? Like, obviously, there are diehards of both of those teams, but I feel like the Packers would outdraw those fairly regularly. So I don't know. I'm a little curious about it. We'll see what happens. But
I'm still interested in I like the scenario that I wonder. We talked about this on, I don't even know if we talked about it on our live show when we were doing the live draft, or it was in our group text. But if you were the Packers and he comes out on draft day and says, "Yeah, I'm not coming back." If you call the New York Football Giants, could you get 3 first round picks for him? I think you could.
I think so.
And one of those being the number 2 overall pick, which you got to assume is going to be the worst pick they're going to have in the 3 picks, I guess, are the best pick you're going to get in the 3 picks, depending on how you look at it. And then you don't need a quarterback. You like your quarterback in Love, right? You drafted him and you've developed him. I think you could sell that number 2 overall pick for 2 more first round picks.
How about this?
I think they could have netted 5 first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers if they would have called the Jets.
What if, and just hear me out here, what if they can still do that? What if, forget the whole thing about this year's draft, because obviously it happened very quickly. Why couldn't they do that going forward? Like, if you're a look-ahead franchise, the way that the Packers kind of have been forever – why not just do that over the coming months?
First we have to wait until this college football season goes through. Then you got to hope that you can make the deal with a number 1 or number 2 overall team. Okay. That's got that draft pick. And now Aaron's another year older and possibly didn't play at all. So you got that to deal with. What's his value doing? So you're not going to get that. Hey, if Aaron holds out, you're not getting 3 firsts. You're just not.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Why not wait until after June 1st so that it doesn't affect your cap, and then you do it ahead for next year. Because
but you don't know who's going to be good next year, so you could get still get three first. Hang on, you might still get three first, but the chances of you parlaying one of those three first into two more first is zero, Gary.
Okay, that is a valid point. All right, yeah,
you, that's you had to from. Do it this year when everybody was dying for quarterbacks, and you had five of them coming out, and that number two pick would have decently hell the number nine pick went or number 10 pick or whatever. Went for two first round picks.
Yeah, yeah.
So why the hell wouldn't the number two pick get you two more first?
Yeah, okay. I do see where you're coming from on that. I do see where you're coming from.
But I don't think you can do that in the future, because every day that goes by outside of once June hits. Now I do think there's some truth to the fact that the Broncos and them have a deal in place already, and I think that Broncos pick was for the Packers. We're gonna see if that's what happens. I think they're waiting until June so his salary cap number goes his dead cap number goes way down.
Yeah, I could buy that. I could buy that because at the same time, you can also just swap out the cornerbacks. Like you take Eric Stokes and ship him over to Denver, and then take Patrick Surtain and take him over to Green Bay. Yeah, okay, I'm down with that.
Oh, I don't know that you're swapping cornerbacks. I think they're getting both.
Maybe not, but maybe
you
get both.
Why would you, if you're the Packers, why would you give up anything other than Rodgers?
I mean, it's a valid point. It's a very valid point. Would you give up
anything other than him? This isn't a situation where you're getting Rodgers and my first-round pick for your first-round pick. No. You're getting Rodgers, and I'm getting this year's first-round pick, which was Surtain, and I'm getting the next two first-round picks you got.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
To assume are going to be late 20s.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Andrew Shirey says they could have done the same with the 49ers, but they turned them down immediately, probably because they're in the NFC.
Yeah, I think they've made a big deal about not this is where Bill Belichick is better at trading than everybody else. He just does not care who he's trading to if he's taking the best deal.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't care that I'm making my opponents better, because he knows if I'm sending them a player, I know everything there is to know about that player. And so I feel confident that I can beat them if I'm winning the deal.
Yeah.
Just get the best deal you can and forget about who the hell you're sending them to.
Yeah, I mean that's what the Cowboys did, right?
Yeah. And so. I also don't understand this concept of if you're doing that and you're the Packers, you have to think you're not in rebuilding mode immediately, but you're not in like win the Super Bowl next year with Jordan Love, right?
No, absolutely not. If Jordan Love is the starter,
Rodgers might not play another 4 or 5 years. So send him, get the best deal you can get, send him on his merry way. And then, because, yeah, they could have done that with the 49ers, taking that third overall pick. They could have sold that pick for two more first-round picks. And then, boom, bang, bing, you're doing the exact same thing. I don't know why they didn't do it.
So we're looking at this from one perspective only. Let's look at it from the complete opposite side. If you're the Packers and you want to keep Aaron Rodgers, because the majority of the Packers fan base is on Aaron Rodgers' side, right?
Okay.
If you are the Packers and you want to keep Aaron Rodgers, how quick are you to fire Brian Gutekunst or whatever his name is, the GM?
The fan base is not going to do that. And the Packers are not owned by one individual like an owner, where you can just kind of target that owner and get him to do whatever the hell you want, okay? Rodgers has made it clear I'm not happy with anyone in the front office, which means he has to be the CEO as well, all right, who's running the organization. I don't know that helps. And then let me tell you something else about Packer fans, because I'm friends with a lot of them. The day Brett Favre walked out of there, they were instantly, some of them were Brett guys and some of them were Rodgers guys during that whole thing. The second he walked out the room, they were all Rodgers guys.
Oh, yeah.
The second Aaron Rodgers is dealt to Denver or wherever he goes, that there'll be a week of mourning. And then there'll be Jordan Love guys, because that's what they do. They love that team, which is what you should do, by the way. That's the right thing to do as a franchise and a fan.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You love the uniform. You can love the player. That's fine. But you're not moving teams and allegiances. You're staying in that Packer green. You're staying in Lambeau. So
you will all be Jordan Love stands. Going forward, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and it's going to suck and you're not going to like it, but at the same time,
it might be better for the long haul. You never know.
Anyway,
we got two more topics we're going to hit. Let's go on and start off with this one. LeBron James. Now, obviously, we don't talk a lot of NBA on here, but the rule has changed over the last two seasons, right? And so when they had the strange bubble year, they said, all right, well, we're going to do a playoff play-in. So the 10 seed is going to face off against the 7 seed in one game to see who actually makes the playoffs, and the 8 seed is going to face off against the 9 seed to see who makes the playoffs as the lower-seeded team, right? Yep. And that, you know, it just kind of flew under the radar a little bit. Like, anybody that's a big NBA fan initially was, this seems a little weird, but then it was like, you know, we get a meaningful game at the end of the season. This is great, you know, wild card, whatever. And LeBron
James... Is it a one-game play-in?
Yes, a one-game play.
Like baseball?
I believe so.
I think I'm gonna grow to love this, by the way, because I was very anti it with baseball, and then I saw the product, and I thought, holy shit, one game for all the marbles? Man, it's amazing.
You know what? Last year, okay, so I don't know if it switched this year, but last year it was if the higher-seeded team, if they won one game, then they make it. The lower seeded team had to win two.
That's how baseball worked. I know that baseball changed it. I'm not worried about baseball. I know baseball's rules. I want to stick to basketball.
Let's see. So the way that this works this year, the State Farm play-in tournament starts May 18th.
So when they call it a tournament, that's why I wish that. That's why I was curious of if this is like multiple game series.
Let's see. It switched from last season. Good. So okay. It is switched from last season. Number 7 plays against number 8, and the winner gets to be the 7 seed. The loser of the 7-8 game gets to play against the winner of the 9th versus 10th place, and the winner of 9-10 plays against the loser of 7-8, and that winner of that game gets to be the 8 seed.
Yeah. What am I asking? One game series, right? One game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to like it. It's going to be awesome.
So I'm okay with this. However, LeBron James, who was all a fan of this last year, who had a tweet and came out and said, like, hey, you know, we got all these teams that are right there on the edge. You know, just do like a 5-game series. Let these teams have at it, the Grizzlies and the Blazers and, you know, the Suns and whoever. Do a tournament with that bunch, and then whoever wins that little play-in, they get to be the 8 seed. And, of course, when the Lakers were the 1 seed, LeBron was all about that. Oh, that's great. Let them play in. Let them have it. And this year, now that the Lakers are kind of falling apart, they were the 5th place team. They lost to the Raptors last night. LeBron comes out afterwards and says, whoever came up with this shit needs to be fired. Now,
calling for somebody's job.
Which is unbelievable to hear this, because this guy, these national sports media conglomerates take everything that LeBron James says and ride with it like it is the absolute truth. Like it is all fact, that this is what we need to pay attention to. It's all gospel. And yet he is just as likely to switch what he thinks should happen based on his circumstance as anybody else. And it cracked me up when you brought this up to me today and said, hey, you think maybe we should handle LeBron? I was like, you know what? Absolutely. Because I used to like LeBron a lot back, felt like 10 years ago. And then social media got involved. And I'm not a big LeBron fan. Like, I can't get with it, because he wants to talk so much about stuff that doesn't matter, and it drives me insane.
Well, some of the stuff he talks about, it does matter. He's either grossly misinformed, or he says things that are just as dangerous as the other side. And he doesn't, but he's not held to the same standard. So I love LeBron, and LeBron's a great player, and that's fine. What do I always ask for on all these guys? I just ask for consistency in the way you think about things. And if you change, if you flip flop, it's okay to evolve your opinion about something over time. That's perfectly allowable. Nothing wrong with that. The issue is I need to know the new information that came in. And if it's, this didn't affect me before and now it might affect me, and so I liked it then and I don't like it now. Yeah. See, that doesn't work. You can't do that. I appreciate you sharing your opinion, LeBron. I don't give a damn. I don't care, because you can't make rules based on if it's right for you or not. It has to be, is it the right thing to do or not? Is it the best for the league or not? That's all that should matter. And if it was right in October, then it has to be right today in May. That's just it. That's just how this works. And I love when millionaires, people who will never have to worry about money the rest of their life, like close to billionaires, he might be a billionaire by now, are calling for other people to lose their job.
And even if he said it jokingly, whoever came up with this should be fired, even if he's just doing a joke because he hasn't put a name with the, or hasn't put a face with that job title, regardless, you are saying something that somebody at the NBA might look at and say, eh, you know, I mean, LeBron did say, like, man, what are you thinking? You know? Like, yeah. It's pretty serious stuff when you start calling for somebody's job.
Just because we don't know the name of that person doesn't mean that somebody in the NBA office don't know his name. Bet you LeBron does know his name.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I just think that's unwise. I think it's dangerous. And I don't like the rules are good for you, but not good for me. I don't like that mentality. You know, that drives me insane. You know, I will absolutely believe that if something is the right thing to do, it does not matter if it affects me positively or negatively. I just can't sleep at night not knowing right is right and wrong is wrong, and it doesn't matter how it affects me.
Yes. Okay. Yes, agree with you. Ryan Johnson jumped into the chat. He said, Rodgers to the Broncos, ? We just spent a whole 20 minutes on it.
So you're about 7 minutes late.
Just go ahead and rewind or listen to the podcast after, and you'll be able to hear our thoughts on that whole situation. Man. Let's close out with the Kentucky Derby. I turned it on for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, I think is what they called it. Yep. And it is exciting. It's great. What was the guy's name? Medina Spirit. Yeah. One as a 12-1 favorite or 12-1 odds, whatever. I got to tell you, I don't always, like, I love the pageantry. I love the tradition and all that. I don't get how people can study this. Like, our buddy Chris Felica is knee deep on the ponies, right? Like, he's all in on this. I have never been able to get into it. Now, it was great to see fans.
I had an uncle growing up that, like, when I was young and first starting to drive, like, used to give me money to drive him over to the dog track over West Memphis. And I used to be like, you're watching the dogs? And he was like, oh, hell no. I wouldn't bet one fucking nickel on a fucking dog. So I'm betting the horses, and he'd watch the horses. And I had no idea what he was doing. I'd just sit next to him, and he'd give me popcorn and peanuts and Coke, and I just went, whatever. Okay, I did whatever he wanted. And I loved him. He was Uncle Ouija. He was the best. But, like, I still to this day, I like watching horse racing. I love horse racing stories. The story about Secretariat.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best stories ever told. But I've always got to be on the back end. I need the story to be completed. I need somebody to write it. I need somebody to put it out in the world for me to inhale it that way. I have no idea what I'm looking at or watching when I turn on the Kentucky Derby. But I like it. I just have no idea how to bet it. So I listen to the Tony Kornheiser show. That's like the one podcast that I'm religious about. And he, before all of the Triple Crown races, he has a guy on to come talk about it. And this year, it's one of the guys he has on all the time. His name's Andy Meyer. He does this stuff for a living, okay? Talks about horse racing for a living. Been doing it for years, worked at the Washington Post, whatever. And Andy Myers picked this horse. And Andy Myers said from his mouth on Friday, this horse has never gotten past. So if he gets out front, there's a chance that he can win because he's so fast. He doesn't have closing speed, but if he gets out early, it's really hard to beat him. Nobody's ever passed him. And when he got out early, all I kept doing was hearing Andy Myers saying, if he gets out early and he gets out clean, nobody's catching him. And nobody caught him. Nobody caught him. I thought that was really cool. But I only know that it was only important to me because I heard this other guy who knows what the hell he's talking about tell me this story about this horse who's followed him. He's done all the work and he's put all this energy into it. And then he gave a 4-minute interview with a guy I like listening to. And I happened to hear it. And that's the only reason it mattered. If 29 other horses would have won, I would have had nothing. I'd have been like, oh, okay, great.
Like, cool.
I do think it's cool that, like, he, that we haven't had a double-digit favorite win at the Kentucky Derby in a long time. Like, the favorites just usually come in. There's usually one or two horses that are getting terrible odds, and everybody's just pounding them because it's a surefire thing that one of those two horses are going to win.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is pretty neat. This is cool. I also think it's neat that afterwards I found out this horse was bought for like what you could buy like a decent like mid-size automobile for. It's like the cheapest like winning racehorse along that, like 35 grand is what the owner paid for it. It just won the Kentucky Derby. That's a hell of a parlay, right?
I would say so. The owner, let's see, who's the actual, or not the owner, the trainer.
Bob Baffert.
Yeah, Bob Baffert. And he's, what is that, seven wins?
Listen, now this is a, he's under a little bit of scrutiny, though, because Baffert had a horse, like he's had two or three horses, like, get kicked out of races recently for doping. I listen to Pat Forty talk about, of course, Pat Forty's from Louisville, and Pat Forty covers the Derby and all this stuff. Baffert said, he kind of, 40 made it sound a little bit like he's talking about college football and college basketball. And he's like, oh, I don't know if he's doping all his horses. And I don't know if all the trainers are doping all their horses. But, you know, his last horse that he got suspended for and got the win taken away in Arkansas actually just got overturned, seeing that it was a false positive. And so he wasn't suspended for this race and whatever. I do think there's a little bit of college football, college basketball, everybody is out here shooting their horses up with stuff. And so if one guy's better at it than the other guy, I don't like it. But it, if they're all doing it, it's, I don't know, man. Cause I used to hate that with baseball. Like, well, everybody's doing it. Yeah, but not everybody's doing it. And so if you're not willing to marry yourself to steroids, then you can't be a pro. Like, I hated that. So I guess I need to hate this to be consistent with that. But anyway, neither here nor there. We don't know. This horse passes drug test. So far, it
seems clean.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it was a bad win. And
the last suspension, by the way, was July of last year. So less than a year ago. Triple Crown trainer suspended.
That was it. That was the Arkansas race, wasn't it?
Yep. Horses tested positive for banned substance. It was lidocaine, which is a numbing agent. And two of the horses tested positive. So
that's weird, right? Like, what does the numbing agent do?
It makes it where they can't feel pain when they're running.
But so, why would that matter? Like, don't they hit them in the ass with that thing anyway to make them go faster?
You would think so.
You don't want them to be numb. You want them to feel it and get up and go, right? Like,
yeah,
that's weird. But I don't understand. Look, I don't understand any of this shit. I love horses. I think they're the most majestic animal out there. I think watching horses that were born to run is the definition of poetry in motion. I just find it fascinating. I could sit all day long at a track and just watch a horse run. It doesn't need a ride in it. Just let it run. I could watch it all day long and just be mesmerized by it. They're huge, powerful creatures that are really, really cool to me.
Hey, Taylor jumped in. He said they can go faster because they don't feel pain in their legs. Like, that's what the lidocaine does.
I would think that if you don't feel your legs, like when my leg is asleep, I can't walk right. Like, if you couldn't feel your foot hitting the ground, like, wouldn't that make it harder to run?
I don't think it's the feet. I think it's the muscles and whatnot. So
anyway,
who knows?
I sure as hell don't know. I'm sure somebody out there is a veterinarian, a doctor, and they all know. I don't know.
Taylor said, as a Kentuckian, I could watch horse racing all day, 100%. He said that he put $100 on Highly Motivated at 10-1.
He
finished top three in the five races prior to the Derby, finished a close second behind the Derby favorite. So, interesting from Andrew Shirey, by the way. Schefter just tweeted about JOK. Did you see this?
No.
JOK had a heart issue that showed up late, which is why he fell. The Cleveland doctors cleared him, though. So,
I think he'll be just fine.
I think he's going to be just fine as well.
I think he's going to be a monster, and I hope he has a chip the size of Ohio on his shoulder.
Oh, I'm sure he will. He reminds me a lot of Isaiah Simmons. He's kind of a tweener, you know.
Yes, but so, he is fast and he is elite. I mean, electric.
He's a bulldog.
He's explosive.
Yep. No, I think the Browns did very, very well. Taylor said they can feel, but the soreness doesn't affect them. So, okay. Interesting stuff. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Is there anything that's broken that we need to discuss? Nope. Let's do it then. All right. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you, Taylor, and everybody else that jumped in. Andrew, Franchise Fields, Ryan Johnson, etc., that jumped into the chat. We certainly appreciate all you hanging out with us today. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. That would certainly help us out. And if you like today's show, tell a friend. Tell somebody about it. If you didn't, act like it didn't happen. That's the easiest thing to do for sure. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast app you listen to. And I think that's going to do it. Take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.